Oh, baby. Do we have a topic to talk about in this brand new episode of the Curfew Boys podcast?
Hey now.
Sammy here with Zook, Anthony, my cousin Chris. Hey now, boys.
Hey now.
I think we should call me instead of Anxious Anthony now. It's Anthony's always right now. I told you guys this was going to happen. I told you Kittens is a smart man.
Hold on.
You
chill out for 2 fucking minutes and then we'll get to you. Listen, happy Sunday, okay? When this episode airs Monday morning on YouTube, if you are a new listener, please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Curfew Boys, a Montreal Canadiens podcast. Please show us the love. It is free. Tell your friends about us. We really want to grow this Montreal Canadiens community, especially after this trade happened. And also, this episode will be aired on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Subscribe, rate, do whatever it is you have to show us the love, because we're excited. I'm excited to be talking about this particular subject. We're only talking about one subject this episode.
But hold on, just to backtrack of what you said, it's free. Yeah. It's free. Only Toronto fans, $50 a minute. So our episodes are about an hour. So do the calculations. If you're a Toronto fan, we are charging you $50 a minute. Let's go.
And kiss your headphones, because it's a privilege to listen to anything Montreal Canadian related.
Or you can convert and join the dark side or the light side. And you could watch it for free. You could watch us for free. No, we're not charging nothing. No prices, no nothing. Listen, this episode is just one subject only. It's going to be long and brief. I'm not talking about my manhood. I am talking about the trade that was made today. Habs trade. Mike Hoffman. Rem Pitlick. For Jeff Petrie. I laugh when I say Jeff Petrie, Craig DeSmith, and a second round pick, and also a minor league player. Oh my God, what's his name? I'm going to botch this. What's his face? Nathan Ligari. There you go. Minor league players. So I reiterate the Montreal Canadiens trade Mike Hoffman, who goes to the San Jose Sharks, Rem Pitlick goes to the Pittsburgh Penguins, Pittsburgh getting Eric Carlson from the San Jose Sharks. In return, the Montreal Canadiens get Jeff Petrie, not Craig DeSmith, sorry, Casey DeSmith, Nathan Ligari, and a 2025 second-round pick from Pittsburgh. Wow. What a way to start a Sunday, boys.
And this trade is not over yet. It's not over.
Hold that fucking thought, dude. Anthony, don't fucking blow your load in one shot, man. Fucking nice and
smooth.
There's
no rules in this podcast. We're shooting shit.
No, there is no rule. There's no rules indeed. That's why I love it. Like, holy shit.
We still got Matheson.
Okay.
Essentially, we just got Matheson for Mike Hoffman and Rem Pitlick.
No, not even. We basically got Mike Matheson, Casey DeSmith, Jeff Petrie, and a second round pick.
What a steal.
For Ryan Poehling.
I like Poehling, but whatever.
And we got for Ryan Poehling, and in return, we got rid of Mike Hoffman and Rem Pitlick.
That's like masterclass shit.
Okay.
I don't even think we know what the fuck really happened. That's how good it is.
The only contract that's... Basically, guys, if you think about it, I think the only bad contract we have on file right now is Gallagher.
Savard.
And yeah, but Savard, I'm starting
he's
to
more
like
use,
him.
He could overlook it.
After the season we had last year,
he had a good year.
If he can continue that trend, guys, I'm not worried about Savard. So
Petrie's a step up, in my opinion.
But what about an important Armia? Detail that... Hold on, guys.
Yeah, Armia.
What about an important detail that Pittsburgh retained 25% of Jeff Petrie's salary? Meanwhile, the Canadiens retained zero Hoffman. And
they paid his signing bonus. They already paid his signing bonus. So
yeah, Pittsburgh.
Even if the Habs trade him, let's say they trade him before the regular season.
We can retain
specific.
Yeah.
Sorry. Because Zook's point is very important, because it's going to be peppered throughout our conversation.
Correct.
It's Pittsburgh that paid Petrie's signing bonus. Just to clarify.
That's it.
So but not only that, Yes, we get him. We got him for 25%, but we can get rid of him for 50.
Yeah, but that's not that's nothing uncommon. That like
no, right?
Yeah,
but, that, but no, but that's a steal, right? That's a fucking.
It's steal. If you pull that off,
if you pull it off, it's a fucking.
It's not,
steal.
It's not just that. If I don't know, if man. It's it. Well, I mean, is it a steal? Yes. The way I look at it is if a team come trade deadline time. Let's say. Yeah. Listen, okay. There's all speculations that Jeff Peach is going to be traded even before training camp starts.
It won't be like today or tomorrow, though.
Let me say something hypothetically here. Let's say they don't. Okay. Let's say they don't trade him, but they have plans to trade him at the deadline by retaining 50% of that salary, and you only keep $2.something million, $2.34 million. That helps a team.
People will be getting a 40-point. D-man for $2.5 million.
Well, not just that.
Where do you find that?
He has
that's a sick
experience.
Fucking asset, man.
But he has playoff experience. He helped them go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Man, like
he's a 40-point D-man for $2.5 million. That's a steal for any team, bro.
Now let's get one thing clear here. I'm not expecting the same Jeff Petry that we saw.
He had a good year last year, dude.
He's
okay.
He started well, but then he declined half season, and then
he's still at 30-something points, almost 40. So. I don't know. That's a good bad year, I guess.
No, last year he got...
He was in the 30s last year, I think.
Yeah, with Pittsburgh, but also he had
some missed Montreal. Okay.
He also had some injury issues. I mean, he only got 31 points in 61 games, 5 goals. But
that's good for a D-man. That is very... It's half...
It's
almost half a point a game. Like
he got it was more on the assist side than goals, but still...
Yeah,
you're right. 60 games, 30 points.
It's not bad, man. He's already slotting better than Savard, like right away. He hasn't played a game yet. We're better on the right side by a little bit.
Okay. And again, hypothetical. Let's say he starts to see with the Canadians. To me, I look at it as if they need help on the power play.
Do they, though?
Well, aside from Mike.
I didn't see it in an issue. Like,
you didn't see an issue.
Yeah, Matheson. You're right.
Had the worst power play in the league.
Right, but it was still exciting. It was still exciting to watch.
Yeah, because the kids.
I don't know if Petry has that fucking thing.
Dude, Jeff Petry could 1,000% quarterback a power play or second unit at least.
We'll see how he works.
If you put what if you put Caden Gooley on a line with Jeff Petry?
My only worry, Sammy, and I said it before in the chat. I don't want them to remove a spot for one of the young kids. We've been talking about this for the last fucking 3 months.
The Habs
want to build with the youth. Now they slot in a guy who's 35 years old.
No, but guys, and valid point there. And I had this conversation with a friend of mine today. Like, why? Okay, there's a lot of aspects here of why, like, that I question him coming back. So, and why I'm saying that he's not going to stay. I think they're going to use him as trade bait. Okay, maybe a nice trade bait with Allen and to go to Edmonton with Petry, because Petry needs Edmonton needs a defense and a nice goalie. Allen and Petry is a perfect slot in Edmonton. Just saying, number one.
Interesting. Yeah.
Now to answer your question, why you're bringing a 35-year-old back into the lineup when we're trying to get rid of all the old ones and keep the young team? That's number one. I don't see him staying because of that. Two, what a fucking big contradiction. This whole his wife situation, leaving Montreal, doesn't like the city, blah, blah, blah. Angela Price had a podcast with Freeway Frank. Yes, I'm going to promote Freeway Frank, the fairway, freeway show, whatever. Sorry if I'm botching that. We can correct that later.
1,000%. Nope, I ain't correcting anything.
An auto to it. Right.
So anyways, if you listen to that podcast,
what did she say about his wife? About her
that you know they weren't happy here and with the whole COVID situation and all that crap.
Yeah.
Right?
So
times are different now. But like how much like imagine when you come back to a city you shat on a few months ago, whatever. I don't think Petry is the issue here coming back. It's more the wife situation. So
he said it himself. He never wanted to really leave, right?
It was more the wife.
He hated playing for Ducharme, who's gone. And listen, let's be fucking honest.
Did he play with Marty?
He hated a little bit towards when Marty first got hired. Yeah, but then that, you know what I mean? Like, you're asking for a trade. You're asking for a trade, but then you see Marty's your coach. It's like, I don't want to get traded anymore. Like, can't you accommodate him, handle the situation perfect? Listen, let's be honest. There weren't that many restrictions in the U.S. compared to Canada. I don't want to go into that fucking thing.
No,
but you know what?
No.
I'm praising Jeff Petry for doing what he thought was right for his mental health and for his family. Hey, boss. Okay?
ended there. So
and that's it. Ended there. That's
so
it.
That's why I'm saying him coming back is a bit odd. Now
it's totally
the flip side. Totally. The flip side. Yeah. Flip side here. Okay, and then I'll let you guys speak. I know Chris has something to say. I see a smile over there. The flip side of this, yes, you're bringing back an old person, quote unquote old, in the league.
Veteran.
He's 35, yeah, he's a veteran.
But you're bringing back another veteran to all these young defensemen that are coming into the lineup. Okay? Yep. Yeah. Like you said, Savard, yes, he had a good season yesterday, but he's not really a veteran to look up to, right? Petrie is a very good veteran to look up to.
I think you had a second one, though, but Savard is a veteran they could look up to.
Savard won a cup.
He's a Stanley Cup championship, whatever, but Caulfield loved Petrie.
Yeah, he did. 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%.
So I do see that flip side of Petrie coming back. So time will tell. But yeah, I really love what he
Petrie
did.
Was always a leader type player too, though.
I loved Petrie from the beginning.
He was always a leader type.
I always liked him. I always did. And
yeah,
you know what? I thought he was treated fairly by management, and he was treated unfairly by some of the fans who think they know what's best for a hockey player when they don't have a single fucking clue what goes on behind the scenes. Chris, go, because I got things to say too.
Well, Jesus, put me on the spot a little more. Why don't you know? Honestly, whether he stays or goes, I'm still leaning on him leaving. But I think what was boggling my mind, just to go to the root of it, Montreal had no business in this trade. Like, Montreal participating in this trade was bad for every single other team. It was bad for Pittsburgh. It was bad for San Jose. And it was just pure greatness for us. Like, Kent Hughes, that man, look, my hair is a little messy today, but Kent Hughes makes me want to just buy a razor and just start shaving.
I want to lick that shiny bald head of his. I love him.
I don't know. Again, I just don't know how Montreal had any business being a part of this trade. And again, we're getting put into a situation where we have a very good asset. And look, one thing at a time, but I think the very interesting pivotal thing about this episode is actually not going to be Jeff Petrie. It'll be Casey DeSmith.
Yeah, but
he's we'll get there. After.
We'll get there. I have a lot to say about that one.
Yeah, so do I. The thing about this is on cap friendly, moving all these players, getting these assets in return, it only costs the Canadians over $800,000 on the salary cap. And if you put Carey Price's contract on LTIR, which is very likely to happen, the Canadians still have just over $5 million in cap space. That's asset management right there. That is
all he could do, man. That's all he could do, though.
It's amazing.
Dude, you have a guy with brains. Like, it's foreign for us to fucking feel this, but because because unfortunately, the last 30 years we've never experienced GMs and Bergevin didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
He got Petrie for fucking nothing, and it screwed. It ruined the Edmonton Oilers defense corps for a long time.
Bergevin did a lot of good trades. He was bad
at his contracts, is what we're talking about. Exactly.
Contracts. Put that aside.
He was good at drafting even second rounders. He had a great success with that, but he never was able to fucking master the contracts.
That's the only bad issue, which was big.
Don't fully quote me on this, but I think the 2025 draft pick is going to be a strong draft. And now
I heard it's a strong D draft.
Now with that second round pick, the Canadians have two first round picks. There's a conditional one on Calgary for the trade of Toffoli and Heinemann. For the trade of Monahan. Sorry, and now with this one, so we're gonna have four draft picks in the first two rounds, which is another.
That's why he did it, dude.
Key thing.
I think that's why you went for that
deal. It could be, dude. It could be, but again, the fact that I think a lot of fans need to realize that Mike Hoffman, I predicted, was going to Laval. He was going to get sent through waivers. Hold on a sec. And I knew Rem Pitlick. He got sent to Laval last year. He was going to get sent. The fact that we got a second round pick for getting rid of both of them, no matter which way you look at it. That is
not counting their contracts, even counting their contracts.
That's a massive W. That's a massive win.
Yes.
Like, this is awesome. Now, look, until further notice, Jeff Petrie right now is a Montreal Canadian. So let's speak hypothetically. I want to kind of split the Jeff Petrie talk into two ways. Hypothetically speaking, where he slots in the lineup, and what do we actually think will happen in terms of, do you think he will get traded, when, for what, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Top four, man.
He's definitely going to have a top four role. This also means, I think this even anchors my, not my theory, but my prediction, Chris Weidman, he's done with the Canadians. 1 year left. He's going to Laval. This is if Jeff Petrie stays with the Canadians or starts the season with the Canadians. This is all hypothetical, right? But even at that, no matter what, I think Chris Weidman, he's going to Laval. I think he's going to be a kind of a mentor for the kids going into Laval, especially the defensemen like Mayu, Trudeau, and who else? My God, what's Jaden Struble? There you go. I think Chris Weidman, no matter what, Chris Weidman's done. But that also makes Jonathan Kovacevic, you figure out, okay, what's going to happen with him? Because don't forget, Jeff Petrie's a right-handed defenseman. What happens to Justin Barron?
That's what I was going to say.
I think Justin Barron is more secure in this lineup, whereas Kovacevic is a piece that's easily,
I don't know, man,
traded.
Kovacevic had a good year last year.
He Barron did, but that's the – I wouldn't be – I'm just saying –
but
I wouldn't be surprised that you see like a Kovacevic for a fourth round, whether it be before training camp or something like that. I wouldn't even be surprised.
But wait, do you see Barron in the lineup this year?
I thought so. Yes.
It depends what he does on training camp. He's got to have a much better one this year than he did last year. Because last year he was poor. He was sent to Laval. He played amazing in Laval. Was even supposed to go to the All-Star game, but then he got called up. So he know, I think Justin, and it's his last year on his entry level contract. He knows he's got to fucking perform come training camp.
Well, that being said, I mean, look, I personally don't mind Barron in Laval another year, and keeping Petrie in the lineup.
Hypothetical. If Petrie stays,
I don't even see Petrie staying long term.
I don't think
Petrie is until deadline.
Yeah, okay.
You know, with that salary till deadline, I honestly think this is Kent Hughes' mindset here based on everything he's been doing till this day. And I called it. I fucking called this. Okay. You know, you guys were complaining about the contracts. He just got rid of fucking Hoffman's contract and we're winning this. You know, he just got rid of put that aside for now. But going back to the hypothetical Petrie stuff, Petrie does not fit in this lineup long term.
No,
There's only 2 years left.
The thing. I see him one more year to maybe give a little boost to the young team, to the young players. You know, give some, again, like you said before, having two veterans in the back end, you know, Savard and Petrie. You know, Caulfield needs that veteran back. You know, he loved him and Petrie were fucking best friends. So, you know, having him back will help the Suzukis, the Caulfields, you know, and all the young players for the next year, 2 years. So I honestly don't see, if Petrie stays, max till deadline, max till next year, I don't see him staying long term.
Our overtime team is going to be pretty stacked. Petrie, Caulfield, Suzuki.
But no wonder Caulfield
loves score.
No wonder Caulfield loves Jeff Petrie. It's because of Jeff Petrie. Caulfield scored his first career.
Beauty of a goal too. That's
I totally agree with Anthony. And it's more like, okay, well, like, do you pair up Mike Matheson with Jeff Petrie at this point,
man.
or do you pair up Caden Gooley with Jeff Petrie?
Oh fuck!
I mean, I think
RD is going to be fucking scoring goals this year, dude. That's my thing. If he stays, of course.
So, but I could again. This is all hypothetical. I feel like we got to keep repeating hypothetically that Jeff Petrie is staying, just so get the listeners to kind of understand what we're trying to talk about.
Well, I can 24 hours. Petrie going to Edmonton Oilers.
Oh my God!
You know what? Well, waste of an episode.
Okay. I know. But
you know what though? Let's have some fun with the hypothetically he stays.
Why not?
Let's have some fun with it. If he stays, let's like. I think everybody in unison, we all agree. He's a top four defenseman. He's not going to be a bottom pairing defenseman. No. Top four, probably on the second pairing.
I'm going to call it Mike Mathis and Jeff Petrie. That's my top pairing.
Okay.
Mental.
Where my mind goes in all of this, because Jeff Petrie is a significant upgrade for now on Justin Barron as well as Jonathan Kovacevic. With the, look, don't get me wrong, Jeff Petrie is no longer the player that he was for us for many years. Yeah, he's no longer as good. He's probably slowing down, if anything, but he's still, no matter what, a step up. And with actually another top four defenseman like that, if he stays, my question is not as much where does he slot in and what does he do and is he playing overtime? It's do we actually make a push for the playoffs?
Okay,
he's a solid piece on the back end that could make a significant change to a lot of things. Special, well, with the special teams, the overtime and everything influence.
Overtime.
Those could be the difference. Those could be the points in difference that get us to the playoffs.
Like 10, 15 points right there.
So that little statement you just said, I said it a couple episodes ago. Okay, and Joey laughed at me and whatever. Guys, I had this conversation with someone today. And he's the one that said it. And I'm like, fuck, I said the exact same thing a couple of episodes ago. A healthy Habs team.
Yeah.
Again, this is all on paper. I could be fully wrong here, you know, like I always am. But anyways, a healthy Habs team could make a push to the playoffs.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
Because, I don't see this the mindset of our management to tank again. I don't see it. You guys, last year was the year to tank, and they were still trying to win games. Even at the second half of the season when there was no chance of making playoffs, they were still trying to win games. So no, put that in perspective. Beginning of the season, they were trying to win. So everybody's like, what the fuck are you doing? A high-end draft season, and you're trying to win games. First half. Okay, they were trying to make playoffs. Second half comes along. You know you're not making playoffs, so let's tank for number one, and yet you're still trying to win. So that being said, you think this season coming with the team we have on paper, again, is all projections, you think a healthy team on paper with the projections we feel about each and every individual on this team is not going to make playoffs? You crazy.
Well, I don't think the management's goal is the management's goal is do the best you can. You make playoffs, fucking great. You don't, hey, listen, we got nothing to worry about that as well.
But they still want to see improvement though.
Of course they want to see improvement. But if they show improvement and don't make the playoffs, it's not a fail.
Exactly.
It's not a fail. And we said this for the next last season. We said it, and we're gonna say this again this year. If we're gonna lose with effort. And we saw that last year. The games that they lost, they never got. We never lost one game. Maybe a few, but there was not many blowouts. There was like a lot of 5-4s, 5-3s. You know, keeping Joey off on the edge of his seat, saying lose the fucking game, and it was like 5-4. You know, like those were a lot of those games, and I didn't care. Like all these Habs fans, they suck and blah blah. I don't mind sitting down watching these games last year and this season coming. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they lose, as long as I'm watching this full game with excitement.
Well, as long as they're making, they're doing the right things. Yeah, go, Chris.
But that's where I'm very interested. With the way the discussion is going has made me realize one thing in particular. Marty St. Louis came in at the end, two seasons ago, at the end of the season. Montreal Canadiens ended up last. Maybe there was a little bit of an incentive not to play their best hockey towards the end of the season. Last year, obviously, there were a lot of injuries, and there were a lot of reasons to push to lose. Whether you like it or not, remember the Michael Pezzetta goal where he went and he was doing the shooting celebration? He shot before a lot of other talented players. That's an example of the Montreal Canadiens. I'm sorry to say, they were not pushing to win every single game that they could have. This is going to be the first year, I think, where we're going to actually have a Marty St. Louis that's just like, okay, guys, time to get as much experience as possible. Even if we finished ninth and we just missed the playoffs and we kind of finished with a draft pick that's somewhere in between, no problem. It's time to start getting better. So I think this is going to be the year that we're going to see the transition of, even if they lose, we're going to see all hands on deck, everybody just charging and going for that win every single game.
Agreed.
To go for that improvement. And also, like I said, that's a pretty significant change if you think about it.
Well, what's significant is that by getting rid of Hoffman and Pitlick in your lineup, or at least your your roster, that gives room for most likely Slafkovský. Because everybody was wondering, well, Hoffman on the left wing, where is he going to go? Is he going to go second line? Is he going top line with Suzuki? Like, what's going to happen? He's gone. That gives Slafkovský a big opportunity. Rem Pitlick gone. That gives, I don't want to say Alex Newhook, because I think his spot is pretty secure. That gives an opportunity for Raphael Harvey-Pinard and now even Jesse Ilonen with his new contract.
Messar?
So, no, not Messar. No,
you don't think he's going to come? What if he has a cracking preseason?
Like a cracking preseason.
Cracking. Like he's like, dominant.
I don't know why. If he deserves it, great. I don't think it's going to happen. Put him in Laval. Like it's his first. He's playing pro for the first time in his life in North America. Put him in Laval. Rem Pitlick gone really, really helps either Raphael Harvey-Pinard or Jesse Ilonen to secure a spot. Jesse Ilonen, who just signed his extension, the 1 year contract, needs to clear waivers. So
he had a good year last year, eh?
Yeah, I think he had a very good year.
Even in Montreal, he was pretty productive for
the role he was giving as a bottom six player. I thought he was awesome.
Very good guy.
I also see, and I could be far fetched here, but for some reason now it's two seasons now. I feel like even Joshua Roy might get a push.
I think he's close to ready
for the NHL.
I think he's fantastic.
If he has a good training camp, it's all about the training camp, right? Because what we've witnessed him in the last 2 years, I think he's killing it. I mean, I eyed him on day one of training camp 2 years ago, and he had potential. But now with everything he's been doing in the last 2 years, if he has a fucking sick training camp, I mean, they got
I don't think he's
going to Laval first, though.
He's going to Laval. He's got to dominate Laval, and I think he could be a call-up. But I don't see him. Coming straight out.
He's
going to
go the route of like an Harvey Pinard.
Yeah, style. Kind of.
He started in Laval, then he killed it, and then the Habs saw that, and then they brought him up and killing like
an injury, and then he's going to slot in like that.
There's no rush for these guys.
No. Pinard maybe is more there's in a rush,
no,
though.
No, Pinard now he has to make the team. Like like Joshua Roy, Philip Messar, even Sean Farrell, like all these Owen Beck. There's no rush though. But
Beck, oh my god!
But this is gonna be a very interesting training camp now with those two gone. Who knows if there's more on the way? I want to throw you guys a curveball. What if they're keeping Jeff Petrie, but they decide to trade David Savard instead?
Oh man!
What incentive
do teams have to take that contract versus a Petrie contract? You know what I mean?
True.
Better players than Petrie versus Savard. Well, Savard has a higher contract for a little longer. Nah, man.
No, they're both the same length.
2 years.
They're both the same length, and Petrie costs more. But if you, let's say, retain 50% of Savard, that you're only giving a team a veteran defenseman. I think they should just to kind of help the team. Hey, look, we're helping you out here. If you're tight on the cap, but you need a veteran defenseman.
I don't know, man.
Okay, question for you, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, the Savard we had last year versus the upcoming Petrie that we feel like he's declining, what would you rather choose?
That's a good question.
I think Petrie's still a better skater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Savard is better defensively.
That's why I rather, like, kind of, I'm saying this, but again, based on what I saw last season. This is just based on last season.
Well, Savard was a beast blocking shots. Like he really was.
But I think we need someone like that.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree.
I think we need someone that's, you know, I'm not going to segue to the next segment, but we need someone like that if our goalie situation is not secured.
Petrie blocked a lot of shots too, guys.
Not like Savard.
In his heyday, he was very negative.
Look, both of them are no longer in their heydays. Like
that's the thing. So will Petrie risk his knee?
Well, Petrie's older, but he still skates better than Savard. Savard is slightly younger, but let's be honest, he's not the most fit. But like, I think they could both be mentors to Caden Gooley and Jack Eye and all that.
That's hands down. Both players can give that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying if you had to choose one, let's say today you're the GM right now. It's like, okay, you could only have Petrie or Savard on your team next season. What do you want?
Petrie.
I'm taking Savard.
I'm taking Savard.
The game, and is I love a fast Petrie. Game.
I'm taking Petrie because I think you could put in, you could slide in Kovacevic and kind of do the same thing what Savard did. It's tough because you're giving away an experienced veteran Stanley Cup champion. Who knows? But it's a tough question actually. Like it really is. I prefer Petrie as a defenseman a lot more, but I'm also thinking the Jeff Petrie that we used to know versus now. But even Petrie, but
Petrie like we used to know, then hands down I'm choosing Petrie. Like no question.
But we gotta talk about the players they are right now. It's a tough one. It really is. But
I don't find it that tough in a certain sense. Like these guys only have so much to give, but off ice. If I want to be coaching my players in terms of character and what type of individuals that I want them to be as like hockey players, as professionals, I'm going with David Savard to be their mentor long before Jeff Petrie. And I have no hesitation in saying that. And I think you have a guy that's happy to be home. Whereas if we go back to that point of, is Jeff Petrie happy to be here in Montreal? I know he's probably going to feel ridiculous as shit. Even if he has to play one game, the guy went to Pittsburgh and he's like, the standard over here is so much higher.
Well, it is. He didn't say anything wrong. The standards in Montreal are high compared to other cities in the league. Like,
yeah, but it was kind of a low-ball comment to be mentioned.
I don't see it that way. There's high standards. He said there's high standards and you need to meet those standards, you know, to play well. He said nothing wrong. It's true. You got to bring your fucking A game every night.
Said the standards are higher in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh?
Versus Montreal, the class.
Yeah, well, they are. But,
you don't say that after a fucking trade that you've, you know, lived all your life and all that.
Majority of his adult life. No, but come on. You're a fucking NHLer in Montreal. Right. You get criticized every other day because you had a bad game, but then you love the other. Whereas you go to Pittsburgh, you're playing with Sidney Crosby and Malkin, but yet you could wander the fucking streets and no one could fucking bother you and your family. Like, come on.
I don't know, man. I prefer the Montreal life.
No, but 100%. But like, it's true what you're saying, Sam, but that again, these little details of these little things, even though they're not bad, they're a little bit of shots to our fan base.
Yep.
Even though they're true, they're 100% true. Like we say it as fans, saying that fucking being a fucking player here or being a fan base here, it's horrible. We shit on those fans, right? But imagine being an athlete going through that shit. Saying that out loud is kind of a shit thing to say, even though it's the truth. That being said, that's why I don't see him staying. I think this is just trade bait. And I mean, again, time will tell. I think it's not over.
There's no press conference announcement by Hughes, huh?
No. I was going to say that, but after when we get segue to the goalie thing.
There's no press conference.
It's not over yet. And there's still a big piece missing. I don't know if you want to segue to the next part, but there's still something big we need to talk about right here.
Well, before that, can we officially say, and I'd like to make the transition to if Petrie is getting moved up, Kyle Dubas just did the Montreal Canadiens the biggest favor. One thing that I've brought up more than once now, I keep saying it, I said it would be my mantra for the Montreal Canadiens this year. We have to get rid of those bad contracts. And the way I'm seeing it as it stands, getting Jeff Petrie, being able to retain the 50% of his salary and move him elsewhere. There are too many teams that are lacking a veteran presence, a guy who can skate, a guy who can play on the special teams. Like Jeff Petrie, I don't know how the hell he just fell into our laps like that. Like I really do not know how the hell or what the hell Kent Hughes said. Maybe it was Kyle Dubas pissed off at Leafs Nation or whatever and just trying to help the Habs. God knows what he was doing, but right now, I think Jeff Petrie is just such an asset to have, whether he's traded right away, whether he's traded further down the line. You could even take Jeff Petrie, retain part of his contract, and get rid of potentially a bad contract. Maybe not Gallagher, but I think you could use Jeff Petrie as a comforting element in a trade package to get rid of another shitty contract.
There's two teams right now that I can guarantee need a defenseman like Petrie and a goalie like Allen.
But what if Edmonton's on his 15-team no trade list?
That's true.
Do we have that list somewhere? Can we get it?
No, the list is never is
they don't disclose.
Okay, the list is never exclosed.
Yeah, but it's also Toronto that needs a goalie. Toronto needs a goalie and a
veteran. Yeah, but anyways. Okay, look. Okay, what does Casey DeSmith mean for Montembeau or Jake Allen or even Caden Primo?
You're not keeping them all. So either for sure Montembeau and Allen. We all know that Montembeau is staying. I don't see them getting rid of Montembeau.
He still doesn't have an extension. He's got
doesn't have an extension yet. You're right, but I don't. Again, this we could all be surprised and Montembeau gets traded next. But I don't see a team with Smith and Allen. Because I rather Montembeau and Smith. One, Primo. I think he's done. What scares me about Primo, and a lot of teams know this, and they're going to wait as long as possible, like, unless Kent Hughes surprises everybody and plays his magic. But I see Primo going on waivers, and that's going to be a steal for some teams.
Well, he has to clear waivers no matter what.
No, I know, but
if he doesn't make the team, he's going to have to be put through waivers to go back to Laval. But
put yourself in a GM situation right now. Hey, the Montreal Canadiens have Smith, Allen, Montembeau, and Primo. Who's going to be gone? I like Primo. Let me wait and not get rid of my assets for him and wait till he gets on waivers so I can pick him up.
Okay, well, okay.
That's not how waivers works. It's a risk that that team will not be able to pick him up, and that's why you pay for him. I think Caden Primo is worth a third-round pick. To be honest, like, I think he's worth a third-round pick. I think that's even generous.
Yeah,
maybe. given certain things. I think there might be some teams, as you're describing, and I think there are several teams that might want to give it a try for a third or fourth round pick. They'll be willing to pay that. But again, in my personal opinion, this all comes back to Allen. Allen is the guy that's clearly contract wise, number of years that he's here. The goal to like Casey DeSmith is 1.8 million. It's perfect for us. You truly give the reins to Sam Montembeau.
Yeah.
And like, I'll be honest with you, and it's not to reduce your question, but at this point in time, Caden Primo is an afterthought. He's genuinely an afterthought. We have too many good goalie prospects.
Well, a lot of people are like, oh, well, Casey DeSmith's coming because Montembeau, they don't trust him anymore. It's like it happened before the trade. When they drafted Jacob Fowler, that was the indication that like they're waiting for this kid to be ready for pro, and then he's gonna take Primo spot, unfortunately. Like Casey DeSmith coming, for me personally, I don't see it. Like, it has nothing to do with Caden Primo. The question is, what happens to Jake Allen? That's my question.
He's gone, man.
Or is Casey DeSmith being used as trade bait?
No, I see Smith being a very good backup for us for Montembeau. He was a very good backup for Pittsburgh. Okay, mm-hmm. He's a very good goalie. Now put him in this management with good training, especially if Carey Price is the guy in the behind the scenes helping, you know, the goalie coach, because we heard rumors that he was helping Montembeau for the Olympics. You know, I think
the World Championship.
Sorry, yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I think Smith, with the right training, the guy can be someone special for us. He could be
man.
A Montembeau because we.
Yeah, he's still young. He's still around, young, man.
Yeah, yeah, he's the same age as Jake Allen. So,
no, Allen's only 31. Yes.
Yeah, they're 31, 32. Oh, so, wow.
But just back to what Chris said about Primo, you're right. And I think Sam said this not long ago, too. You finally like gave in because Joey couldn't stand you agreeing that you like Primo and he still has a chance on Montreal. And you finally said, okay, I think it's time to let him go. I think this is it. I don't think I'm going to say this. I don't think Primo has done his career.
No,
I think he was just put in the wrong position. He was in the shadows of Carey Price. We just focused too much on Carey Price, management, coaching staff, fans, all that stuff, where I feel like Primo was not properly trained or looked at or was neglected too much. And that's why he didn't give us 100%, because you saw a lot of good glimpses of Primo in Laval. He just couldn't give it in the NHL. Put him in a team that actually takes care of him. He might be a good number one somewhere.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. Like the team doesn't take care of him. Like
send him to Boston.
He was given many opportunities. It's just that, like, unfortunately, with the Ducharme Montreal Canadiens team that was in front of him, that hurt him. So
it hurt most humans.
I don't think. I don't think he. I don't think he was. He wasn't being taken care of. I just think he was unfortunately put into.
He was just in the wrong
situation.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
So or I still think Primo has a shot in the NHL, just not with the Montreal anymore. I'm sorry, but yeah. I think it's time. And I love Primo. I've always said it many years ago when I said, you know,
I like him too.
But I think he's done with this organization. I see him put him on another team. You're gonna see him scare us a little bit against him.
I agree. I think he's gonna be at best the number one goalie for
Toronto win the cup because then
for them. No, he's gonna be a number one goalie for a minor league team. I don't see him. He can go down the same path like Zachary Fucali. Like he might get called up when he's 28, 29 and play really well, but I don't know. I don't think. Unfortunately, who knows? Maybe something might click in his head, and then he's a fucking human wall.
Well, look at Montabo. He was a fucking shitty piece of shit 2 years ago, and now last year he was. we all hated. Come on, let's go back to our episodes. We all shot on him in every way possible.
Well, he couldn't stop a beach ball, but I didn't think he was a piece of shit.
Okay, on the ice. I don't know him personally, so I can't really say that. But
apparently he's a super nice guy. Personally, he speaks well English. He speaks well English. He speaks English very well.
I honestly think the English,
no, he has no accent, dude. Like, he has an accent better than us combined. Like, he actually speaks very well. So, I don't know. I think I still think everyone says Jake Allen. I don't know. Greg DeSmith, he's got 1 year left and he's cheap. I think he might go. I think I'm going to use that as my prediction. I'm predicting Casey DeSmith getting traded before Jake Allen.
So then what was the... Okay, never mind.
Zook, you're on mute before anything.
No, I'm good.
I don't know. Imagine, like, you just did all this, yes, to retain salary and get rid of Hoffman and Pillick, but then you get rid of Petrie, get rid of Smith.
Yeah, and you get the assets in return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think they got them for? Long-term plans?
No. I see Allen going more for some reason. I feel Allen has more assets to... get Dan Smith.
Maybe. Here, hold on. I'm looking at capfriendly.com. I freaking love this website. Yeah, Jake Allen. Well, dude, like Jake Allen make 3.85 for the next two seasons, and you have Casey DeSmith at 1.8.
We need salary, so I see.
We do. But like, if you're gonna ask for a team, hey, and who's less injury prone?
So that's what I was going to say. So isn't Jake Allen, like, can barely fucking stand up? Like, he can't play more than a certain amount of games, right?
Well,
remember? He said it even last year. Even the coaching staff said it. So there's signs there. Maybe we're not really privy to that information. Maybe they know there's a medical issue with Allen.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Like,
they're removing that risk, and they're replacing him with a possible D. Smith, who's a similar age, not as injured perhaps.
Is there a possibility that somebody's going to go on the LTIR that we don't know about?
Fuck, if somebody else goes, pardon my French, but if somebody else goes on the LTIR, I swear to God, I feel bad for these guys. They come to Montreal and they just die, all of them. They finish their freaking careers in wheelchairs, unable to walk, unable to... I guess that's brutal. That's it's not funny, but you put the sheer number of players that have had terrible injuries that affect them in their personal lives. Like, holy crap, we did nightmarish works. Our medical staff here in Montreal did horrible work over the past few years. It's so sad.
That's where they're all gone.
They're all gone, and it's a new crew, a new staff.
Just to say, if there's another one, like if Allen is the next victim of that horrible staff, that's just sad.
Possibly, no, I don't think so. Our new medical staff, They were the best ones in the league with the Rangers last year. So
what if they evaluated him now? Is what I'm saying.
Maybe. Listen, we're
guy can fucking play 20 games.
We're almost a month away from training camp. We're gonna find out like soon enough. Like right. I don't think Cantuz is done, but I think Eric Engels released something earlier today or after the trade.
I read it.
Yeah, now I want to kind of like reread what he wrote about Casey DeSmith. So DeSmith comes in as a security position of need, with Primo having to go through waivers if he doesn't make the Canadians out of camp. Either way, his addition creates flexibility for the Canadiens. It also might open up a trade for Jake Allen down the line, especially if Primo unseats him at camp. Bottom line, if they lose a goalie, they have another one with the NHL experience in the fold. It's also a possibility, and not necessarily a likelihood, but certainly a possibility, they'll carry three goaltenders on the roster to start the season.
That's the article that I sent you guys.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I mean, you've seen teams have three goalies on the roster.
I know. I'm trying to think of who exactly. I can't remember for the life of me, but yeah, I know.
Boston?
I think Boston was one of them.
With Swayman, Allmark, Swayman. And what's his face? Well, but he retired too. Oh my God.
Did Edmonton do it with Campbell, Skinner, and somebody else?
Yeah, Campbell, Skinner, and no, but what's his name? Mike Smith was on LTIR.
Well, look, either way, going back to it, and that was a point that I made earlier on in the episode, and finally to elaborate on it. I think the key piece in this trade, like, I don't mind if we keep Jeff Petrie. I don't mind if we trade him later. Like, I don't think it's of any consequence. I think this trade, if there's anything that comes out of it, it's the fact that most likely Jake Allen has to go. Put aside Caden Primo, put aside those guys. And right now, to circle back to what we're discussing presently, I don't think the Canadians are going to start the season with three goaltenders. I think Hughes is coming back from his summer vacation. I think we're going to have a very interesting few weeks leading up to camp. Well, and I think Jake Allen is the next guy to get traded out of Montreal.
We did speak about, and I brought this up, and I did say at the end of our end of season episode, I said Allen is either gone in July or trade deadline. He's not staying another year with us. So now with all these moves being made, he's probably gone in August. I honestly don't see three goalies starting the season.
Okay. What could we get for Jake Allen?
Third rounder?
I will get more picks. Okay. Hypothetically, let's say Petrie and Allen go to Edmonton because that team strongly needs both. Mm-hmm. Who do you get in return? Picks, or is there any players that would?
Well, I mean, I know who I would like.
Me too.
But it's not going to happen.
97.
I'm not even going to go there because that we're going to lose followers like in the snap of a finger. I would love an Evan Bouchard, to be honest with you.
We're not.
But that's very unlikely as well.
There was a rumor not long ago they were trying to get rid of what's his name? Their first overall. What was his name? That didn't succeed.
The first Eugene overall. Hopkins?
Not Hopkins. No. The other one. Fuck.
He's already gone.
Before McDavid.
Before McDavid.
Or after. He was Yakupov. Number one. Yakupov.
Dude, who?
Nail Yakupov, yeah. I think he's already off the books.
No, there's someone else.
No, you're thinking of Jesse Puljujärvi?
Yeah, he's in Carolina, dude. Like,
no,
yeah,
there's another guy. I forgot his name. It doesn't matter.
No. Scratch that. No. Yeah, I ain't editing that out again either.
I want the Montreal Canadiens to go get picks. Like, to answer that question straight, it's time to go get picks. Mantra. Clear out the cap space. 25 million. Get picks. Get whatever. I don't care if we have to trade picks to, let's say, move up or whatever.
I mean, if
clear cap. Clear cap.
You got a clear cap to pay the future prospects. I mean, I wouldn't mind Xavier Bourgault. Like, I think he's not so bad. I personally, forward. I would love them to get Dylan Holloway. Actually, Cole Caulfield's teammate. In Wisconsin, actually, I wouldn't mind him. Like, he's not so bad, actually.
I'd go for the big defenseman that Jack Eye got injured fighting Desharnais.
Why? And, why a defenseman?
I no, honest jokes aside, like,
mind you, I mentioned Evan Bouchard. So, anyways,
no, but that aside, I think what they would do is go for a pick. And to be honest, there's so many young guys in Laval, and it's not there too. We don't want to make the mistake of clogging up the roster and not having a sufficient amount of guys have that opportunity to develop. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also a great opportunity maybe to get some quality, like high quality AHL players at the same time.
Yeah,
I don't know, but that's to support them.
Well, that's why they went and get what's his face, Nathan Lagarde. Like, he's
more
another
like
minor
that.
League.
Just continue on that front.
Okay, I'm gonna go with realistically here as best as possible. If the Canadians could get a second round pick for this coming draft in 2024, because don't forget they lost one. When did they trade their second round pick? They traded to. Oh my God! If they could get the second round pick back they used to get Christian Dvorak from the Coyotes, I'll be happy. Now that I know why that second round draft pick in 2024 was given away, like that to me would probably be the most realistic with 50% salary retention of Jeff Petrie, if it's Jeff Petrie. But to me, the fact that, again, I reiterate, there's no announcement of a Kent Hughes press conference. Maybe it's because he's on vacation somewhere. Can you picture him on the fucking beach just texting the GMs, texting Kyle Dubas and oh my God,
I don't think Mike Greer.
Yes, like imagine he's on a beach just fucking texting him. Yeah, yeah.
That's I don't think he's on vacation, Sammy.
I think there's something brewing for today, tomorrow. Dude,
you know what the funny thing is? I see. Oh, Erik Karlsson is getting traded to Pittsburgh from San Jose. A third team party is in, and I'm there thinking like, bah. Imagine the Montreal Canadiens. Let's see what could happen. They're like, oh, third. Rumors are it's the Montreal Canadiens. Word are somewhere. I'm like, well, no, wait a minute, why? We don't get Erik Karlsson, but hey, we get Jeff Petrie back.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
no, today was just pure genius. And if everything we said this episode comes true in regards to what the next steps are, it's a fucking joke. Like, can't use this laughing right now. If he's on the beach, guys, I don't know. I'm just loving this management. I love what they're doing. This is all exciting. Again, this is all projections. This is what we expect to see and feel. If everything just falls into place properly, guys, we're contending.
4 to 5 years.
No.
2025, 2026. Jesus got the message.
A lot, I'm telling you now, a lot will depend on Montembeau and the goaltending situation.
Oh, 100%.
If they figure that shit out, then yes, we will be not only making playoffs, but fighting to go as far as possible. This is all I got for tonight, boys.
Short and sweet, but perfect.
Yeah, not unlike me. I want to dedicate this episode real quick to Joey and his family, the loss of their grandmother. So this episode is dedicated to Joey and Joey's family. So if ever Joey hears us, our condolences to the family. He knows we love him. We're here for him, and we're here for his family as well. Mm-hmm. So all right, well, I guess that's a wrap, folks. Thanks again for listening and tuning in to a brand new episode of the Curfew Boys. Hope you enjoyed it. Tell us your thoughts on Instagram, on YouTube. Like, subscribe to our YouTube channel, please, it's free. Tell your friends about us. Help us out, help us get to the next level. Maybe one day we'll start taking call-ins. We gotta figure out how the call-ins work.
We'll figure it out.
Spotify can do it, but we'll talk about that offline.
Okay, offline then. Awesome. Yeah, guys, thanks for doing this. Yeah, we said if ever there were breaking news, we would be coming back for another brand new episode, and I'm glad we did this tonight. Don't forget, we do have another episode going to be released on Thursday. We're going to be talking about the Atlantic Division. This is something I'm actually looking forward to talking with you guys and hearing the opinions and thoughts of everybody else. The Atlantic Division, because this is going to be a very strong division. I can't wait for that. Thursday, boys, until we meet on maybe, what, Wednesday night to record?
Couple nights.
Yes. Couple nights from now, we'll record. Have an awesome Sunday evening. Enjoy your Monday. Enjoy starting your week listening to us. Until then.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Bye now.